You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. And yes, I'm going to get to a little bit of history here in just a second because of this email we just got. It's the day after Memorial Day here, and clearly they're still coming in. I'm glad you enjoyed our Memorial Day special from last night, where we just different show, 3 hours to honor the fallen. That's what we did. If you missed that, you can catch the whole thing on iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes. I'll get to that in a minute. But we got Julie Kelly coming up about 30 minutes from now. There's something else happening with the FBI right now in the Senate. Something you should probably be worried about. I certainly am. I didn't know about it. And Julie Kelly's reporting on it today. That's about 30 minutes from now. She'll tell us about all that. But before we get to history or Julie Kelly or any of those other things, let's deal with this. What's the rule for the new right, the anti-communists? Anti-communists like you and anti-communists like me. What do? We play offense. You see, conservatism hasn't conserved a thing because it's defensive, only defensive. I want in your house. No. No, but I really want in your house. No. No, but I really, really want in. Okay, you can come in just a little bit. That's been conservatism for about 100 years. That's why we've lost our culture. That's why you can turn on Good Morning America now and see child drag queens dancing and you can see the hosts clapping along. That's how you lose a culture. No is not fighting for something at all. And I'm not blaming you. I've lived most of my life that way. That's what I thought. Hey, live and let live. Hey, just back off. No, that doesn't work with communists. Communists only understand fear and pain. There's not another language to them. Remember, they're fighting on behalf of their religion. So we have to play offense at all times. Offense. And that's hard because it's an adjustment. It's a change in mentality for all of us, for everybody. Now, being offensive is not exactly something new for me, but you're undoubtedly a nicer, better person than I am. It's probably difficult for you. We have to get used to it. That's the bad news, is we have to change our mentality. The good news is this. The communist tells us all the time what scares him. I mean, do you remember when we had those videos? All those horrible videos came out, most of them courtesy of either Christopher Rufo or libs of TikTok, of all the nutball teachers in response to some simple Florida bill. I mean, you remember the simple Florida bill. It just said, hey, don't talk about sex to kindergartners. And then we had all these teachers freaking out about it, all these trans grooming teachers going online saying, oh, yeah, yeah.
So today was full of little happy gender euphoria moments. I got called Mr. Micah a lot today. Well, completely femme. And that was really heartwarming.
Okay, all right. You can turn it off, Chris. Just, I know you don't have the visuals. Just know that thing had a beard and it wasn't even Italian. Quit, Chris. We can make jokes. It's fine. That thing had a beard. It was awful. And what happened was all these turbo freak teachers started putting out these videos. And the right started to wake up to just how much of a grooming problem we have in schools. I'll be honest, I knew we had one. I had no idea it was this bad. Remember, these are the ones who are comfortable videoing themselves and putting it out publicly. Lord only knows how many aren't. And so the right began to wake up, and we began to look around and say to ourselves, oh my gosh, we really do have a serious grooming problem on the left. They are grooming children. You know, the people we have to protect, they're grooming children nationwide. This has become a serious problem. And the right began to say what? Groomer. We used to call them, now we're calling them groomers. This is grooming. Groomer, grooming, groomer. And what happened? Well, we have articles like this one out of the New York Times. Misusing words like groomer isn't just wrong, it's dangerous. You see, the communist tells us what he doesn't like. He tells us what he fears, and we have to read things like this and say to ourselves, oh, nice, I found what hurts him. I think I'll keep going, and I'll keep going, and I'll keep going. And you're going to have to excuse me if I think these people aren't being labeled in a way that's fair.
You have swatting happening and Nazis walking around. It is a scary time.
He's been playing the racist card. He said, I'm a nationalist. David Duke comes out the next day saying, thank you so much.
We now know that we have in the White House someone who could lead the Ku Klux Klan in the United States of America, somebody who could be the leader of the neo-Nazi and publish just his words.
This is still a white supremacist house. You still have actual Nazis in the house.
This distraction and sleight of hand is basically what modern Republican politics is all about. I mean, it sure ain't about governing. It's about selling white grievance and rage, the same rage that produces attacks on Asian Americans and Jewish people and on our Capitol.
It is a party that it's what we read in the history books about Hitler.
There is no difference from what Donald Trump...
Hitler, Nazi, Hitler, white supremacy, Hitler, Nazi, Hitler. I'm sorry. Are you being labeled with things that you think are unfair now? Man, I feel terrible for you. Oh, do you think it's dangerous? I watched every part of this corrupt system for the last 4 years go all in because they were told time and time and time and time again that they were fighting against Nazis, Hitler. We have to stop the KKK. And now you're uncomfortable with labels? Tough. Enjoy it. And that's just a lesson for all of us. They're always telling us what they hate, what they fear. Let's keep doubling down on it. All right. By the way, I said earlier that I wanted some phone calls, 877-377-4373. And I said I wanted your worst moving stories because Michael got stuck in a driveway because he doesn't know how to back up a trailer. And it's absolutely hilarious to me. That's not very nice, Michael. Anyway, I don't know if you're going to be making those phone calls because I don't know if we have a phone screener tonight. I thought we were supposed to, and everyone keeps calling, then the calls are dropping. You might want to just hold off on those right now. I'll let you know when we hit a phone screener again. Chris, are we going to have that, or should we have them send in their calls Pony Express, or what, Chris? they're working on it. Ain't no big deal. I'll let you know when to call. All right, so back to, I promised you a little history at this time, because we did a Memorial Day show last night and someone wrote in about their father's brother, Robert H. Moss, and he died on a hell ship, an American torpedo. Well, an Allied torpedo hit a hell ship, and people don't know what that is, or a lot of people don't know what that is. And so let's just have a little brief rewind talk about it. We've talked before. I'm not going to give you all the details on the war in the Pacific and our war against the Japanese and things like that. But one thing you do need to understand is, not only were our POWs, well, all POWs, not only were they treated terribly by the Japanese were a desperate country, short on resources, and short on manpower. It was one of those things. I mean, there aren't that many people in Japan, so it was one of those all hands on deck. You know, if you're an able-bodied young man, get your butt in the military. You're rolling. Well, they needed help. And the Japanese looked at all these prisoners, well, the ones they didn't kill, the prisoners they did take, and they thought, well, we have an opportunity here. It wasn't only that our POWs were treated so badly by the Japanese, it was that they were treated as slaves. It was, I mean, honestly, it was chattel slavery again. That's what it was. They would have them in various places. They would have them building railroads. I believe, Chris, look this up. Make sure I don't screw this up. I'm almost positive it's called the Railway of Death, or Railroad of Death. It's in India, I believe, or at least close to it. Over there? In Burma. Okay, Burma. That's right. Sorry, I'm doing this off the top of my head, but they you know, needed a railway built. They don't have the manpower. They have a bunch of POWs, a bunch of American POWs, and they would do things like forced them into slave labor. Now, how does that get us to hell ships? I will continue this story in a second. I don't time my show per se. I screwed up the timing on that. Bear with me a moment. But did you practice with your weapon this weekend for 10 minutes? Remember, 10 minutes. I pulled out my Mantis X system and I practiced with my weekend for 10 minutes. I went to the gun shop with my boy. Yeah, I bought some ammo. But then I got home and I didn't feel like going to the range. I didn't feel like running around anymore. It's Houston. It's 9 million degrees. I didn't want to do anything else, but I knew I had to practice. So I pulled out a Mantis X system. I attached it to my weapon and I practiced in the comfort of my home. Actually, I did about 20 minutes on there. And I don't mean target practice. I mean dry fire practice in your home with feedback, with drills. They're going to put you through drills. You can get to be a better shooter in your home with a Mantis X system. The Green Berets use it, for Pete's sake. This is military grade. Go to MantisX.com and get one today so you can get better. 10 minutes a weekend. I owe it to you. You owe it to me. MantisX.com. That's MantisX.com.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse USA! Kelly Show.
Jesse Kelly Show. Yeah, we got Julie Kelly coming up about 10 minutes from now. Something else is happening today with the Senate and the FBI, something nobody's talking about. And I read her stuff and my jaw dropped about it. So you might want to hang on for that for a minute. And I'll continue my history story in a minute. I guess we do now have phone calls and we're going to be taking yours. You have any terrible moving stories? I told you mine about driving the U-Haul into the apartment overhang. It was not my finest hour. And I don't mean I accidentally scraped it. I need to be clear. I was just driving full speed. I didn't think about the height clearance. Don't ask me. And we've all been making fun of Michael today because he can't back up a trailer like a woman. So what are your stories? You have any bad moving stories? 877-377-4373. 877-377-4373. And we're going to get to Nancy Pelosi's husband getting busted by it for a DUI and all kinds of other things. But back to the quick history story I was doing here. Someone asked about hell ships and was talking about someone died on a hell ship. Remember, the Japanese, when they would take in prisoners of war, the ones they didn't kill, they would use them as slave labor. And honestly, a lot of our guys simply got worked to death. The nutrition was awful. I mean, it's something you'd see out of the movies. The nutrition, the conditions were awful. Nutrition was awful. Disease was rampant. I've told you before about, I mean, I'm not going to go into the details of it. I've told you before about the greatest World War II documentary I've ever seen. And I swear I'm not getting paid for this. It's very, very hard to find. I don't know how you find it. Called Hell in the Pacific. I know they made a movie about that. It's not the movie. They made a documentary about it. And one of the guys describes what it's like trying to clean up his buddy who was dying there. It's just a horrible, horrible situation, right? Well, because of all this slave labor, I mean, Japan's looking. They have all these people they consider to be slaves. They would transport them around where they needed them. Just because you went to Burma for a while to build a railroad doesn't mean you stayed in Burma. Maybe you stay there for a while. Maybe you didn't. Maybe they needed, oh, hey, we need help for the mines in this place or mines in that place. Well, that's really bad news for American POWs. And it's really bad news for a couple different reasons. One, remember, we're dealing with the Japanese who treated you really, really poorly if they let you live at all while you were on land. How do you think they treated you once they loaded you onto a ship? I mentioned chattel slavery. People know about the stories of the black people brought here as slaves from Africa, and they know about them being stacked up like sardines. I mean, you know the horror of those slave ships. That's essentially what the Japanese did with our POWs on these hell ships, they were called. Starving, boiling hot. Remember, we're not dealing with air conditioning here. You're dropped in a gigantic metal hold. You leave all the prisoners in there. You give them just enough water, maybe to keep them alive. Oh, and did I mention? How's this for gross? You'll drop them maybe one bucket with which to do their business. Just horrible. And we're talking, what, 120 degrees in there? 130 degrees in there? So they're already miserable. That's one bad thing about the hell ships. Bad thing number two is this. By this point in time, especially later in the war, we have blown out the Japanese Navy. We've evaporated it. It's off the water. Whatever is out there ain't that great. It's just the U.S. Navy by this point in time is the greatest Navy in the history of the world. We dominate the seas. Well, if you're going to get a bunch of slaves from point A to point B, and there are a bunch of islands, you got to put them on a boat and you got to sail. And at this point in time, American ships are not just sinking naval vessels in and around Japan. They're sinking everything. You see, we play that siege warfare game too. Japan's an island nation. We killed their navy. We simply surrounded their island. We sunk every boat that came in. Doesn't matter. Oh, it's a merchant vessel with food. No, it was a merchant vessel with food. Now it's actually fish food, as a matter of fact. We sunk it all. Well, one of the most tragic parts of this conflict, I mean, not that tragic parts are hard to come by, but one of the most tragic parts of that portion of the war was we killed a lot of our own guys unknowingly. It's not like they have a bunch of Americans dancing around up on top of the ship. We don't have any idea. We're looking at a Japanese naval vessel of some kind. And if so, if you're on sink on sight orders, you see a Japanese ship, wham, you send it to the bottom of the ocean. You don't find out till later you just killed 500 Americans. Something like that's how horrible is that, right? So those were the hell ships. And that's why they were called hell ships. All right. What's the worst moving story you have? Moving sucks. Furniture and packing things up. Moving sucks. And we all know now Michael sucks at it. What's your worst moving story? Jim in Denver, go.
I'm from Cleveland, and I was helping, this is back in 1983, helping a friend and his wife move from Cleveland to Long Island. So we run up a 20-foot U-Haul halfway through Pennsylvania. It breaks down. U-Haul has to send a truck and some people to help us reload the truck. Now we're way behind. We left early so we could avoid rush hour New York City. So we decide to take a shortcut once we get to New York City through Central Park.
Oh.
We know you're not allowed to drive a truck through Central Park because all the bridges are arched underneath.
Oh.
And you cannot stay in your lane because you'll hit the bridge abutment. So it's rush hour. The police are out there citing me for, you know, making an illegal move. Plus, they got to shut down traffic to maneuver us to the middle of the arch so we can keep moving forward to unclog New York or Central Park.
Oh. Jim, last thing I want to know.
It was embarrassing.
I want you to do this as best you can in your mind. Last thing I want to know, about how many times did those New Yorkers honk at you and or give you the finger approximately in your head?
Flip me the bird. It's so long ago, I don't remember.
That's so great. What's your worst moving story? 877-377-4373. 877-377-4373. What we're going to do next is we're going to go to Julie Kelly, and she's going to tell us something that's a little bit disheartening about the FBI and the Senate and the GOP. She's going to get us updated. And when we get back, we're going to talk about moving stories and we're going to laugh because, gosh, it's been heavy enough, right? Gosh, I feel like I'm on a hell ship in here, Chris. It's so hot. What? I guess that didn't work. No, in all seriousness, 877-377-4373. Remember, you can email the show your love, your hate, your death threats, whatever you want, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. And if you have still a name you'd like honored for Memorial Day, that's fine for the day after, too. Hang on.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia.
On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
The word on the street then was, he's too country for pop. But then once I got to country, it was, he's too pop for country. So I kind of never really had a place to fit in, but that's exactly how and why I fit. I just embraced that. Like, yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. And no, you don't have to call me a hero, Chris. I'd like to consider myself more of a mentor than anything else, honestly. More of your guiding light, I would say. But let's enough about you and enough about me. Let's go to one of the great Kellys in America and someone who's actually had the guts to actually report on things like the abuse of our January 6th people, on the rampant abuse and scary abuse at the FBI. Julie Kelly, you had something written down today, and I woke up and I rolled over and I read something about our Senate and the FBI and Christopher Wray and our useless GOP, and it was so disheartening. So I want you to now dishearten everybody the way you disheartened me.
Let's share the misery, Jesse. Why should we languish alone?
Yes,
so FBI Director Christopher Wray, because his agency is doing such a solid job of entrapping innocent people in fake kidnapping attempts and missing real crimes, now thinks he deserves a raise. He's asking for $537.8 million, new dollars, in the 2023 budget. And Jesse, I'm sure you won't be shocked to hear that the Senate Republicans who were hearing him talk last week and explain why he deserves this big raise didn't object, didn't confront him about his scandalous agency, how so many Americans have lost faith in it. 64% of Americans in a recent poll called the FBI Joe Biden's Gestapo. 46% of independents said that. But not only did GOP senators not push back and get in his face about his lost credibility, Senator Lindsey Graham actually asked Chris Wray if he needed more money than the $537.8 million raise, which, of course, Chris Wray blushed and said, "Oh, shucks, sure, if you want to give me some, I'll take it."
Okay, Julie, that is just terrible. I don't think it's breaking news to anybody listening to the sound of your voice right now that Lindsey Graham is a card-carrying sellout to the deep state. Let's set that aside. How pervasive is that way of thinking within the GOP? Because this is my concern, and you're way more knowledgeable about this stuff than I am. I'm concerned that we're going to take back the House, probably the Senate, and the GOP is going to promptly do what they've always done, nothing about a weaponized administrative state. And when I read that article this morning, I told myself, man alive, it looks like it's coming true.
It is. Well, look at what happened today. We have the fruit of the poisonous tree of the FBI's Crossfire Hurricane probe, the complete Russiagate hoax. Republicans had a chance when they had the House, Senate, and the executive branch to actually do something about this, shut down this FBI, hold these people accountable, appoint John Durham special counsel in April of 2019 instead of October 2020. Thank you very much, Bill Barr. So we still are living with the fruit of that poisonous tree. And what happens today? Michael Sussman in cahoots with the FBI, giving them fake manufactured data about an alleged link between Donald Trump and Alpha Bank in Russia. He's off the hook, just like everyone else is. And so Republicans had a chance. We're hearing more, you know, grunting and groaning today. We're going to do something, rein in this agency, House Republicans. How can we trust them when we're still living with the consequences of their cowardly failure to hold these people criminally responsible for the biggest fraud ever perpetrated against the American people, robbed Donald Trump of at least the first 2 years of his presidency, led to impeachment, led to all the other corrupt prosecutions like January 6th that we're seeing now? Because these people are emboldened, Jesse. You know, give a mouse the cookie. Then pretty soon you end up with, you know, the FBI beating down the doors of veterans and Indiana grandmas and hauling them off to special prison in Washington, D.C. So who's responsible for this? Mostly Republicans.
Good grief. Speaking with Julie Kelly, of course, giving us an update on all things corruption in this daggone place. Okay, Julie, I'm glad you brought up Durham. And, of course, everyone's disappointed today because everyone wants to finally see someone associated with the Clintons burn and something other than suicide. So Is this the end for Durham? Is this the beginning? Is this are we hopeful? I understand a bunch of this stuff is sealed. I'm probably asking you to predict the future. Are we hopeful that something is going to come of this thing at all?
I'm not hopeful at all. He has plenty of evidence of a conspiracy case, wide-ranging conspiracy case. Why he didn't start with that instead of sort of this process crime of lying to an FBI, you know, who was a friend, apparently, a buddy, James Baker. So I don't see that coming. And as people have noted on Twitter today, this will be justification to call for shutting down his special counsel team. And he'll issue some report, and that will be that. I mean, everyone in Washington, D.C. right now is laughing at us. They are absolutely laughing. I was in that courthouse last week following a January 6th trial. The dichotomy between how this case was handled, Sussman, the charge that he faced versus what I saw in a courtroom last week, a guy who's been in prison for 16 months, charged with obstruction and 4 trespassing counts. And now, of course, the jury came back and threw the book at him. He'll spend more years in prison. And Michael Sussman and everyone else who actually perpetrated this fraud, this conspiracy to defraud the United States, which is a crime, a major crime. They're all going to get away with it. And I just don't see anything else coming out of Durham's investigation.
All right, Julie Kelly, that was all the bad news. Let's maybe focus on something good. I look at some of the people running right now, and I know they're in primaries, but a lot of them are winning these primaries. It looks like we have maybe a different mindset, a better mindset, a much more anti-communist mindset coming up through the ranks. Could I maybe argue slowly but surely we are changing the old useless GOP?
I think that that is a glimmer of hope. I will agree with you there. I do think, especially in the House Republican side, and even some of these incoming Senate candidates, you know, if they win the Senate, J.D. Vance, Blake Masters, people like that. I think that they are hearing from the base and they understand what's at stake. If we do not reform these institutions, if we don't hold people accountable, if we don't start shutting off the budget spigot to help fund agencies that are our sworn enemies, they're not even trying to hide it anymore. I think that they sort of get it. But I do say to people all the time, what can you do? Just keep pushing your congresspeople, pushing your senators. When they take power, we've really got to turn the heat up and make sure that they retaliate for not just what's happening, the Russiagate hoax, but now the January 6th Select Committee, the abuse of prosecution, all of it. They need to take all the Democrats' playbook and turn it around, direct it exactly at them.
Julie, what, in your opinion, should people be demanding when it comes to retaliation? Because I agree to you, and I know we all want the world, right? Everyone wants a Biden impeached, right, and a Kamala impeached, and Mayorkas, and we all want these things in the real world. What should they be demanding?
I think they should be demanding public hearings with sworn testimony by everyone who has been involved. They need to shut off the budget, as I said, shut down some of these agencies. They need to cut the FBI's budget dramatically, including and also Department of Justice. Look at this January 6th prosecution, all the money that's funneled into the D.C. U.S. Attorney's Office, who, by the way, just issued a grand jury subpoena against Peter Navarro, who had nothing to do with January 6th. So they are making their way towards Trump. So as far as what they can do without having an attorney general at justice who is on their side, who will make things worse for them, public accountability, explaining everything that happened, forcing these people to testify, compelling the production, Jesse, of all these documents, hidden emails, records, videos related to January 6th and everything else, they will have the power to do that. Will they? You know, that's where you and I are very skeptical, and I think justifiably so.
Julie Kelly, you are the best. Go read all of her stuff. I always do. Thank you, Julie.
Thanks, Jesse. Have a great night.
All right. We get to make fun of Nancy Pelosi and her husband, and we get to take some calls about your worst moving stories. We have rot within the police force that we have a long time serving cop wants to address it. We have all that and more still to come on the Jesse Kelly Show. Now let's discuss, since it's obviously in the news, before we get to all that, let's discuss your safety. Everyone's worried about their safety right now. You turn on the news, doesn't matter where you are, someone's getting shot, stabbed, robbed. It's just, it's a time where there's a lot of mental illness out there right now. There's scary stuff happening. Do you have something in your physical possession at all times that will allow you to defend yourself against a bad person? If the answer to that question is no, get a Hero gun. It is a non-lethal gun. So even if you're one of these people who doesn't want, I don't want a gun, I'm not comfortable with guns. Okay, fine. This isn't a gun. It's a non-lethal gun. It shoots pepper balls. They shoot 100 miles per hour. They explode on contact. It'll debilitate someone and save your life. It has a laser sight. I don't care how inexperienced you think you are, you can use this. Go to hero2020.com and use the code Jesse. That gets you a special discount. Hero2020.com, code Jesse. State restrictions may apply.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
The Jesse Kelly Show. Don't worry, we still got more than an hour left. There's still a lot of fun to be had. Grandma Vodka's husband apparently got into her stash, and we get to make fun of her for that, and that's going to be lots of fun. But hey, look, don't worry about it. If you're stressing about things like the economy, you should know Biden's all over it.
Look, I think that what the president has done with respect to communications has been to consistently explain to the American people where we are and where we need to go. And that continues to be the way that that he approaches this.
But sorry, I got to interrupt here for a second. You know, I'm starting it over. I got to interrupt. If you could bottle up this 1 minute, it's about a minute long. If you could bottle this up, you could sell this as politician. 1 minute of saying absolutely nothing. And he was asked a very specific question about the economy and inflation and all these other things. 1 minute of saying absolutely nothing while acting like he says something. Again, this is Brian Deese, advisor to Joe Biden. Listen to this.
Look, I think that what the president has done with respect to communications has been to consistently explain to the American people where we are and where we need to go. And that continues to be the way that that he approaches this issue, and very much from the perspective of what it feels like to sit around a dining room table or a kitchen table in this country, because that's his lived experience, and that's the way that he approaches these economic policy questions. And so he understands that right now the top issue on people's minds is prices at the gas station, prices at the grocery store, and he's made very clear, and he's communicating very clearly that's his top economic priority, and that we can address this from a position of strength, and that we can make this transition to stable growth without sacrificing all of those gains if we make the right decisions going forward.
That's how you say nothing for 55 seconds while acting like you're saying something. What is that gobbledygook? All right, we're going to get to emails and Grandma Vodka's husband and a lot more, but first, what are your worst moving stories? Michael can't back up a trailer. That's embarrassing. What are your worst moments? Sherry in Brooklyn, go.
Hi. Okay, this is one of my stories of moving. We're all packed, and my husband checked out the refrigerator, and there was a bottle in there. And he sat down, and he finished the whole bottle. Well, it was a bottle of prune juice. Oh. An hour later, oh, my God, the movers are here. Flush. Flush.
I'll be honest with you. I've done something similar, but probably worse. Oh, I never told you this story. We were house shopping. We were moving. Remember, I was selling RVs before I did this. Just a few years ago, that's what I did. I was selling RVs. I was looking for work. I found some work selling RVs. And we were moving from Dallas. We lived in the Dallas area. And we were moving down here to where we are now in the Houston area. And we didn't have a ton of time because, it's hard to move when you don't have a ton of time. So we had like a day to look at 15 houses or something like that. So we were going and going and going and going and going and eating on the road and eating on the road and eating on the road. And we were looking at a house to buy. And I had to use the bathroom. Look, the I'm not going to go into the details. I had to use the bathroom. And I asked to use the bathroom in this house. What, Chris? Chris asked if it was a Dumb and Dumber situation. Brother, it was not that dissimilar to Dumb and Dumber. And look, I can't control it. It's not like I'm God. I can't control how long it takes, okay? I wasn't reading magazines in there. I asked to use the restroom. She said I could. And apparently I was gone for a while. And I came back. The wife was mortified. Absolutely mortified. It's not like I planned it that way. Francisco in Denver, go.
How's it going, man? Listen, my parents don't know this, and I hope they're not listening to the radio right now, because then I'll never hear the end of it. But we were moving from a farm to the city of Denver, right, for personal reasons that don't need to be said. But anyways, my dad is the type of guy that doesn't like to rely on people to help him with stuff, so we had a horse trailer, and let me tell you, man, that thing was, I don't know when was the last time we washed it, but he's like, we got to wash it and throw everything out there. So he's like, wash it, and just throw everything on there. So I'm over there, like, washing it out and, you know, helping him load stuff. I mean, couches, furniture, all that, bags, clothes, whatever. Problem is that I forgot a bag of clothes or a box of clothes. I don't know what I had, but more specifically, they were undergarments. So I didn't realize that until we got all the way to Denver and we couldn't go back because police and everything got closed down the place. So for about a week, let's just say I wasn't smelling just like horse dung and horse smell.
Hold on. Francisco, I just want to be clear on something. You couldn't go back to your house because the police had closed down the place? Do I have that right? That's what I thought. Joe in Florida, go.
I have two stories, one involving property damage, the other involving brain damage. And the one involving brain damage is a lot more interesting.
Go quick, Joe.
Which one to hear first?
Okay, brain.
So at the time we were on a framing crew building houses, our landlord was also our boss. He was the contractor, a very devout Christian, had actually run for Congress, very straight and narrow. Well, this was in the early 70s, the days of drugs, sex, and rock and roll. After work on a Friday, the whole crew was in the foreman's apartment, and we decided to experiment with a particular illicit substance, which, let's just say, it's used to subdue horses, and we'd never experimented with that before. But it created a state of mind kind of out of an earthworm, but the foreman, to give you an idea, sat in front of his couch on the floor. And every 3 or 4 minutes, he would clutch his fist in front of his face and say, I got it. He had the secrets to the universe somehow, but that was as good as he could articulate it.
I'm sorry. Had to cut you off. We ran out of time. All right. We'll take more of these, and we're going to make fun of Grandma Vodka. Well, specifically her husband. Next.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.